15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning, everyone. Jane Dobre, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Today is the day before St. Patrick's Day. We're looking for a lot of happiness to happen tomorrow, as it did this past Sunday when we had the St. Patrick's Day parade in Philadelphia. Many of you may have seen it on Channel 29. It will be rebroadcast tomorrow. Well, if you received the email today announcing the fact that our radio broadcast is on here on 860 AM, send it out to someone else and invite them to tune in, because I think today is going to be an interesting broadcast. I think that Rich Loges is going to tell us about a few things that happened to him yesterday as he worked the polls. We'll be hearing from Mark Andel, our very well and respected founder of the Made in America store. And I want to mention that Mark has a great little PR piece on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You'll see the American Made store. You'll even see Mark's dad in the picture there. He's part of the customer base. It's a very nice little PR piece. When you go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, it's right under the Listen to the Rebroadcast link. Well, you know, we had some very interesting times, and I want to say thank you to everyone that stops me in my travels. It's been interesting. Larkin Connolly is supposed to be joining us today. He's on a special assignment. Henry Chaplinsky is here, and he is our engineer, and he is ready to go. And by FCC, I am Michael Blihash, your host, and we are ready to go and do our thing today. I watched a lot of the TV yesterday, and I saw some important things being discussed. And as always, I saw for the first time in many years, people have been talking about schools, where the leadership is, restoring our career-based programs, technology, education, you name it. I've never heard it so much discussions about it in the past. Everybody wants to see, of course, the ideas that all these candidates are talking about in writing, so we know where we're going and where we really should, put our focus in the future. I have to say it, guys, and everyone listening, I can see that Americans are angered. They're sick and they're tired of seeing jobs and job skills lost in every state of the union. They're sick and tired of going to stores and they're looking at the labels and nothing represents the country where they live. Third little point before I go to Rich is American workers are seeing that Mr. Trump is someone who's bringing these thoughts to the process. I think in past elections, we had a lot of dreams and discussions. Today, everybody is talking about jobs and job possibilities from A to Z, nothing left out in between. And they also are seeing Donald Trump as putting the jobs, job skills, the trade deals, overregulation, bringing the money back home from overseas, changing the education system in America to inspire students to get a good education and also have availability for going into the trades as they did more than 25 years ago. And by the way, when I talk to people, they say, Michael, all of these issues should have and could have been put on the table for the last 8, 10, 12, 15 years by presidential candidates, by congressional candidates, by senators, but nothing was done. Rich, tell me what you just heard and what you saw yesterday as you were working the polls.
Well, good morning, guys, and Michael, Mark, Larkin, when you come on, our listeners. You know, Michael, no matter how you look at yesterday, it was a potentially huge day for November. I mean, it just was. I'm going to say it again, like I've said before. I'm going to keep saying it. Like him or not, the only Republican who can beat Hillary Clinton is Donald Trump. Period. Period. There's no debate anymore. Ted Cruz won exactly zero states yesterday. Zero. On the biggest day of what is undoubtedly going to be an important election. So what I saw, Michael, is I saw, you know, first time working the polls, and we didn't have a huge turnout in our district because we got a lot of early voters in Florida. We're still waiting to see the reports come out on what the turnout is in the sense of those yesterday and early votes. But yeah, I saw, and I'm not allowed to speak politics in the polling place, and I, you know, all of us enforce that, and it's a very important thing to emphasize over and over and over again to those who are working. We had a really good staff yesterday, and we saw a very impassioned electorate. And in the conversations after the polls closed and talking with people, I think, Michael, you are right in the sense that there is anger. I don't think that a lot of the people who are angered are angry people.
No, they're not. No, they're
but
not.
I feel like,
and Rich, but your wire. Yeah, Henry is going to reconnect with you in a second because your wire is a little shaky there. But I want to say to you that no, the people are not angry. They are disgusted. They want their America back. They want people of working age to have lots of job possibilities, not being dependent upon government. This is what people tell me. And I work in social services, everyone, and I hear firsthand what is going on with people. People, I've never seen a disgust in past leadership as I have now. And they would take any candidate who would be speaking about the things that Donald Trump is speaking about, but they have a little more respect for him in some ways. I mean, he's not the perfect candidate by any means, but they're respecting him because he is bringing issues that should have been discussed for 25 years to the table, especially situations with the trade agreements, which actually hurts every worker in America. Mark, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Mike and crew and listeners. It's funny, last night I had to run up to the hospital. My wife's uncle's in, and he's doing good. But came back home and kind of caught, I think basically Trump won, five out of six states, Rich and guys. And, you know, it's funny, my mother this morning, she's never talked about politics in her life, you know, but she's behind Trump, and I couldn't believe it out of nowhere. She said, you know, I hope he does make it, and it's a shame they're all coming at him, you know, the way they are, and so many attacks. But I think he's the non-politician American that people are fed up. Mike, you kind of hit it. They want change. They want real change. They want the America that they believe in, and they want workers. They don't want users. They want doers. So I think we're seeing historic things happen. It's just amazing how much change he's made already.
Yes, in fact, I see Rich and Mark and everyone listening, I see people now engaged in the election process like never before. They want me to know that they're registered to vote, that they're listening to broadcasts like this and our local talk stations. They want to hear about what is really possible. What they're afraid, most people, is if we don't do it now before the election, this thing could run away for another 4 years, and they don't want to see their children and grandchildren suffer again for another 4, 8, 12 years. While it's on the table, let's slice it up and distribute it around. What would you say, Rich?
Well, Michael, I would, in a larger point, I would say, and Mark and me were texting last night. Mark was texting me, and I wrote back some stuff that I can't really say on air because it's full of words we can't say on AM radio.
I was worried I didn't hear from you, Rich. So
it's only because I was working the polls.
Then the faucet opened up. It was great.
And then I got back, and me and Mark were communicating. And Michael, here's my broader point. This go to the convention, broker the convention thing. is still not going away. And I'm sitting here going, why won't it go away? You know, why is it still not going away? Why is it that we have in the country right now, which again, look, the Democratic Party, guys, this is the bottom line. The far left of the country, right, the ones that vote Clinton no matter what, they're gone. They can't be saved. They can't be salvaged. They're irreparable, and I mean that. And that's why they're bringing the young people with them. You know, that's why they're bringing the 20, the 19, 20, 21-year-olds with them. They're the ones, right, and that's where they are. The far left, they're in the schools, they're in the universities, they're in the media. Unfortunately, some of these kids' parents are this way, and they're being taught at a real young age that free markets don't work, and we need communism, and we need collectivism. And so you've got a whole country right now of people who will vote Clinton no matter what. And the big that's the thing. See, the Democrats, guys, they don't have to work. This is the thing I want to really stress to our listeners. In my opinion, the Democratic Party doesn't have to work to show that they're different, because they got 95% of the schools, universities, Hollywood, and the media. Hillary Clinton could take an 8-month vacation, show up the day before Election Day, and the same people who are going to vote for her today are going to vote for her on Election Day, Michael.
I agree.
So the Democratic Party ain't got to work. Now here comes the Republican Party, right, the other major party, who have worked and worked and worked and tried to sell lesser two evils, and they've worked and were the – no, they're most of the – unfortunately, Michael, many, not all, but so many of Republicans are just liberal progressives with an R after their name. And you know what a lot of voters are saying now? We figured you out. We figured your asses out. That's what we've done. Now, having said that, Michael, remember, it's all about the turnout, baby. That's it. Because those that are going to come out for Clinton come out no matter what. So the answer is, what? Is the question,
Rich? I want to ask you something.
What's the plan?
What was the rate of people voting either the absentee or regular in this primary? Did they say that they had 1 million or 2 million or whatever? And was that better than the primary of 4 years ago? I'm interested to know that.
That I don't know, Michael. About 4 years ago, the reports I've seen are over 1 million absentee ballots.
Wow.
For Florida. And Florida's got a lot of early voting. But look at what happened yesterday. So, in many ways, Mark, you said it, we said it. It's historic in many ways. You have Marco Rubio, who's senator here, not running for re-election, and he got trounced yesterday in his home state.
When does he regularly run for re-election as a senator?
It would be this year, because he's been here since 2010.
So he's out of a job, period. So either he probably has to look for whoever the candidate will be and ask them to bring him in. Now, a lot of people like Rubio. I liked him, too. He was a decent type of a guy. Up until he went the last month or so, he sort of went wild. But with all the Rubios and the Cruises and everybody fighting all the cageism and all that stuff, there was something different that happened this time around. Larkin has joined us, and I'm going to ask Larkin what he saw in the thing. But let me just get this little point of view out. People feel that Mr. Trump put a lot of new issues on the table, and he kept them on the table since he entered the primary 7 months ago, I guess it's now. And they want to see what the other candidates were putting on the table. They saw that there was a lot of backstabbing and this and that. But the people like Mr. Trump for one reason. Everywhere I go, they tell me, because he's threatened to renegotiate all the trade deals and to look how the trade deals are benefiting America. And what are we going to do to get more products made in America? He's not worried about the tariff end of it, because We'll have more of it made in America. So if you don't want to buy something from abroad, you'll have it made in America, and everything will be, you know, the way it should be. He's discussed about China and others manipulating their currency, which has really been hurtful to America for the last 25 years. He's talking about bringing full competition back to America. He's talking about pushing small businesses, community businesses, helping infrastructure come about. All this type of thing has been, you know, a need to be discussed, but it's never been discussed in the last 10, 12, 15, 20 years. This is the first time we're talking about renegotiating, that there shouldn't be a trade agreement that goes over 4 years without negotiating. Who puts anything in place? And it's just going to continue that way forever. Those are the kinds of things that someone like Mr. Trump is getting attention. Cruz could be doing it. Rubio could have been doing it. Corina could have been doing it. All these people could have been doing, but they didn't. They went for the innuendos and things like that. A lot of that election debate time and all was wasted, as far as I'm concerned. The issues should have been put on the table, and they should have been put on the table in writing. Most of the people working in social services that I deal with are hurting. They have to work two jobs, not one, to pay their ever-rising bills. So when they say, I'm voting for major change in America, I understand what they're talking about. Larkin, did you watch the results yesterday, and what did you think?
Hey, good morning, Michael, and Mark and Rich, good morning to all of our listeners. My apologies for coming in late. But I am in a beautiful automobile being operated by Mark Rothenberg, our district director in the state of New York. And we're heading across the state of Westchester, the county of Westchester, on our way over to have lunch with Bill and Hillary. yeah, right. Yeah, go figure.
You bet it.
Good morning. Michael, to your question. What did I think of last night? You know, I honestly can't make a comment because guess what? I didn't watch a second of it. I didn't. I got up this morning and didn't get a good night's sleep, yada, 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 whatever, for reasons that I don't need to enumerate. I really didn't get a chance to watch it. But you know what? I will say this about the race, at least in my humble opinion. The closer we get, and it's going to take something to stop Trump, and it's going to take something to stop Hillary. I don't know what it is. Obviously, the Republicans are going to try to invent something that will call for a second election. I don't know how that works either. But as the Rubios drop out and as the Kasichs, although I don't see him surrendering in any way, shape, or form, but as the crowd gets whittled down, The campaign goes from an internal campaign of Republican versus Republican to a Democratic versus Republican campaign, and that's when it'll start getting interesting. It will be impossible for, I mean, you can always call names and you can always take the low road, but we're going to have to start addressing issues here pretty soon, and that's where the screw is going to turn in one direction or the other. So the closer we get to ordaining our Democratic and Republican candidates, the closer we're going to get to sitting down and you know, stop talking about little this and big that and my hands and your personal property. And all of that's going to go to the wayside, and it's going to become an issue-based campaign. And I think, quite frankly, I would hope that both candidates would see it that way, and that the tenor of the whole election is going to change to issue-based rather than name-calling.
And I think we need those issues to be addressed, finally. And all the things that were discussed in the early debates are now forgotten by most people. But things like renegotiating the trade agreements, things like getting schools back where they have skills as well as all the other academic programs. There are the things that the people want to hear about because they see the future of their children and their grandchildren and themselves running away, and there's no end to it. When you look at what the people are up against, quite frankly, you look at the debt clock on the front page of American Workers Radio. You see that in America today, these are facts and figures which are presented right from the United States government, from their census and their labor and industry. Right now, we have 323 million Americans living in America. We have 151 million Americans that have full and part-time jobs. We have 45 million Americans that need 45 million Americans need full or part-time jobs. And 46 million Americans are presently living in poverty. And America's got $19 trillion of debt. That's what I want to see the candidates address. What are we going to do to get these people out of poverty? What are we going to do to get 45 million jobs back in America so that people have full and part-time jobs to support themselves and not be humiliated by needing to have government support them or offer them food stamps or whatever? That's my concern, and I would like to see all the candidates, now that majority of the primary states are over, get off their asses and start doing the job that they're asking to be elected to.
Guys, can I offer a comment? Larkin, good morning, Larkin. Welcome on. And
good morning. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm a little tired and sore.
Let me ask you a couple questions. So you worked the polls. How did you find that?
It was a great experience. Thank you to my Broward County Board of Elections for letting me work. My job was essentially to assure that all the machines worked well. Happy to report, no problems with machines, no glitches. There were some reports of glitches throughout Florida. None in my district, Larkin, in my polling place. And my job was also to ensure that everyone's ballots were accepted and counted. So I'm a little sore and I'm a little tired. And I just want to warn you, Larkin, since you're going to lunch with the Clintons, make sure you check under the eggs Benedict for a cockroach. They might stick one of those. It might stick one of those biggies, those big cockroaches underneath. I just have to say, Michael, and Larkin, in response also in part to your question on this. You know, you guys know me. I mean, I'm the lesser one evil guy on this show, right? I'm the guy who comes in and says, and has been saying for a long time, I really question if there's a heck of a lot of difference between the two parties. And I think right now, guys, what's happening is that it's beyond parties now. We're beyond this. And what we're at now, Michael, is based on what you just said. There are two freight trains that are on a path to collide in the country right now. One of those trains is a large, okay, it is a large, maybe not a majority, but it is a large and influential segment of Americans who feel like our Constitution, our free markets have failed, and they need to be dramatically altered, if not done away with entirely, on the really, really fringe elements of those groups. Okay, so you got that train. And then you've got, Michael, this other freight train that makes up, in number, the majority of the country. But a majority don't mean anything when you stay home. See, that's the thing people have to understand. Majorities only mean something when you're actually maximizing the strength in the numbers. This other freight train is with a lot of people who are good people. They're struggling. They have maybe voted lesser two evils. They feel like they haven't been rewarded for their support and their loyalty. And there's this perfect storm of that train, that freight train right now, that's saying that we have to preserve the freedoms, the values, and the liberties of our country with an eye on the future. We've got to get a little bit back to the basics, but we, of course, have to never stop looking forward. And I'm simplifying this, yes, but those are the two trains, Michael, that are on a collision course. And I'm going to tell you guys something, and I'm just predicting this, Michael. And I'm not saying that I could be proven totally wrong. I've been wrong before. Rarely, I know, but I've been proved. If Ted Cruz is the nominee against Hillary Clinton, I think Ted Cruz will fare just a little better than Walter Mondale did in 1984. Now, Arkin, I know that you are an expert and a student of that 1984 election because President Reagan won 49 states and Mondale won his only state of Minnesota. So I'm looking now, Michael, which is this. If there truly is a concern that the country is moving too far left and another 8 years of progressivism headed by Clinton, if there is a genuine concern that we got to put the brakes on that, that second group of people I mentioned, they're going to come out to vote. But here's the thing about politics. Doesn't it always help when you got somebody who can really cheerlead and rally that message? Donald Trump is not even to say that he's an imperfect candidate is the understatement of the year thus far. Okay, but this is what happens when you get to lesser two evil stuff, and we're looking at it now. But here's the good news, Larkin. See, here's what I'm seeing as the good news about it all. The Democratic Party in their current form, they're gone. They can't be saved. They're so far left, they'd call Stalin a moderate if he ran today for office. But I look at the Republican Party, and I see a chance for them, Larkin, a chance, if they so take advantage of it, to reintroduce a new offering, a new party. And if you do it well, there's no perfection, but if you do it well, I'm telling you, going forward, you can get independents, you can get crossover moderate Democrats if the party does it right. But I'm just asking the question out loud, is the strategy to do that to keep threatening to broker this convention and to take it away from the guy who's going to be clearly of the will of the voters, even if he doesn't get the number of delegates? I've never heard, Larkin, so many voters talking about delegates before this election. I've never heard it before. People, Michael, are really studying. I mean, they're really understanding this because people are scared and nervous, and they're not making it up. That stuff, we're in trouble on some things.
Yep, I agree.
That's it, and well, that's the voters. And again, this is what was embedded in the foundation of this country: self-rule, self-regulation, self-governing. You don't like the government, you kick their asses out. This is what is one of the core principles. And I'm telling you guys that first freight train, and we're on a collision course with it. That group of people wants to dramatically alter our Constitution and our free market.
Hey, Rich.
If not, do away with it.
These two freight trains are running on China-made track.
You got it.
Which is inferior. So you didn't
put
the track
with Iraqi,
first,
we got Iraqi oil on China-made tracks with Sweden, baby. Air Sweden. That's what we got. Okay, so that's what's happening right now. And instead of... You see, the Democrats, guys, they don't have to offer solutions. They don't have to work to get their voters because they're teaching an entire generation of young people. The youth of our country have been failed. They have been failed by the schools, by the universities, because they're being taught that all of the things that have made the country what it is. There's no perfection, but all of the things that have made America the best place have failed. That's what they're being taught. And so I can't get mad, guys, at a 21. I mean, I can't get mad at a 21-year-old college student, okay, who wants to eat donkey cheese, you know, read the Quran and talk about how communism is wonderful, because I know that along the way that person's been failed somewhere. And we can't disparage the youth. You know, we had young voters. Guys, look, Larkin, I had young people come out yesterday, and they voted. I don't know how they voted. That's not what for me to know, but I know we had young voters. And I look at the youth of our country, and they have been taught that the things that have made us the most unique place are the things that we need to dramatically change.
And, Rich, that's
so
why you got to
put it. We're at a historic time right now, guys. I mean, it's just there's no other way to put it.
Well, there's no question of that. But, listen, I don't think any one campaign has a corner on any one element. I mean, if you're to talk right now, the youth of this country is driving the Bernie Sanders campaign. You know, they're on that bus, and that's what they're driving. Bernie gets out. Well, then it's up to the remaining candidates to go after that vote.
Now, here's a question, Larkin. If Bernie gets out, where do you think those candidates, I mean, those candidates on the Republican side, or will Clinton benefit?
I promise you, 2 months before Iowa, I was saying, oh, you know, Trump will be out after Iowa. I mean, this can't go much further. And, So I've taken my political punditry and I've put it in a shoebox in my closet. How can anybody guess? I listen to these people on the major networks and the news networks, and I listen to them talk, and I go, you know, they no more have a line on this than anybody else. Trump does not have the disenfranchised vote. He has a huge portion of it. But the disenfranchised vote has always gravitated towards the Democratic side. So he doesn't have it completely. I just think that it's way too early to call anything. This thing has got to straighten itself out. The only thing I can guarantee you personally is that if Trump runs against Hillary Clinton, no matter who I vote for, I'm going to be holding my nose. And that's just the end result of a country that at this point is dysfunctional. Mark and I, my car mate here, and I had breakfast with a Canadian, and Mark said, so what do you think about the election? And he said, well, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't understand why it's happening, what it is, and, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, we attempted to explain to him a little bit, and he nodded his head a little bit, but, you know, the whole conversation started when I congratulated him for Justin Trudeau and the wonderful visit that Justin had at the state dinner in Washington, D.C. So, listen, none of these candidates right now has a corner on any one single market. The disruptors in Chicago clearly were, if you want to call them disenfranchised youth from the University of Illinois. They were college-level kids. That's who they were. So, so many of them said, we had meetings 2 weeks ago as soon as we knew this was going to go on, and we pulled ourselves together, and there were like seven different groups but from the University of Illinois, and we weren't going to let this travesty take place. Well, it's the first time I've ever had anybody call freedom of speech a travesty. But at any rate, nobody has a corner here, Rich. It's open market, and once they get down to issues –
You know, Mark, I got to tell you, I don't know if I fully agree with that. I don't know. Certain groups, certain segments of the population, I'm not saying you're wrong, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You know, Rich, I want to ask you a question.
I don't know about that. Why do Republicans keep getting their asses kicked? Why? Why? I'd ask why. I ask out loud, why? Why do they keep losing?
Okay,
what is it
so
that they're doing? What is it? What about their candidates? So, Larkin, again, this is a broader question.
Hold on, Rich. Rich, hold on. You asked me why Republicans keep on getting their butts kicked. What are you talking about? We own Congress. We own Senate. We own a lion's share of the governors. What more are you asking for? Where are Republicans getting their butts kicked?
I would just propose, Larkin,
we own all three major segments of the vote right now. We're not getting our butts kicked. We're beating them where it counts.
Maybe the elections, Larkin, but I would question how many of those Republicans in Congress are all that different from the Democrats. And don't think that's not driving what's happening with Trump and to some extent Sanders. So that's all I'm saying. When you're saying about not having markets cornered, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's true. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you're wrong. But
now, I want to tell you this. This is the first time I heard, since Sanders got into the race, this is the first time I heard them talking about trade deals and getting trades back into the schools and refocusing on ways to bring back the money from overseas. I never heard that before.
That's why Hillary lost Michigan. And she, 4 days ago, was stumping across these Super Tuesday states of yesterday, telling them that she will absolutely destroy and get rid of any trade agreement that affects the American economy in a negative way. And you got to say, wait a minute, your husband sponsored NAFTA. You voted for NAFTA. You voted.
Right.
Oh, for God's sake, Larkin. There's like four dozen, if not more, there's like four dozen times publicly when Clinton talked about the TPP being the gold standard of trade deals. But this is my point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
You're wrong.
What difference does it make when the supporters vote no matter what? What difference does it make?
I'm going to tell you, it's going to make a difference when they get away from where we are now, which is just a round of toxic gobbledygook, and they get down to issues. It's going to bring a lot to bear on Trump, who's going to have to talk issues and talk resolutions and how he's going to solve things. And it's going to bring a lot on Hillary, who's going to have to do a little bit of dancing around some of the issues that she's backed in the past. I mean, we haven't heard. She may not get indicted, but you know doggone well you haven't heard the last of that being brought up in debates.
But the main thing is, Larkin and Rich and Mark and everybody listening, the American people are now questioning Hillary. Why did she vote for these trade agreements? Where are the benefits to America? I mean, what was presented in the trade agreements? One of the people involved in the trade agreements says once the trade agreement is enacted, they don't question it. Well, I don't like that. I think it should be up for discussion on an ongoing basis and ratified every 4 years or something. How can you all of a sudden put your people to death because you signed an agreement to go to foreign countries with stuff? This can't continue. There is where Trump made all his friends and supporters by saying things that he's going to look at this. He's going to get the best people. Clinton could have said that. Sanders could have said that. Cruz could have said it. Every person involved could have spoke up and said, I am going to look out for the American people first. Instead, they focused on all personal ideas, what you did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I want to know what is happening today and tomorrow.
Mike, I deal with all my vendors, 500 American privately owned businesses. They said there hasn't been a fair trade deal. I mean, I hear it all the time. We need a level playing field. We don't mind competition. I'm a manufacturer. We want to manufacture in America. It's just not a fair playing field. So when a Trump or whoever talks about looking into these and fixing these and taxing imports and growing this country, yeah, even the borders, you got to stop the drugs from coming in. I don't know about you guys. All I'm hearing on TV is how it's ruining the kids. You got to stop it.
Well, sure, Mark, and everybody, when you ride down any highway, Larkin, you're riding down the highway. Take a look how many empty buildings there are, buildings for sale, buildings for lease. Full, you know, understanding that at one time those homes and those buildings in that area were populated by a lot of people who worked at those manufacturing facilities. What happened? Why did it happen? Why wasn't it on the agenda 25 years ago when it first really started to take effect? When the NAFTA first started, why wasn't it said, wait a minute, after 4 years, we're getting screwed?
Absolutely.
It happened when the victims were voiceless. That's all. You know, the victims didn't have a voice.
The fact, by the way, the fact that our cell phones, our televisions, the modems that are operating our internet, everything is foreign made. How the hell is that possible? I want the candidates to speak. I'm going to bring 50% of that manufacturing back to America. And with the 50% of that manufacturing comes the bookkeepers, the managers, the salespeople, the delivery people, and everybody else. I think it's demoralizing for America's young people to go into a store with their parents and see everything foreign made. Where's the American made label? That's what I want the candidates to address.
We need a culture change.
Well, they will eventually. I mean,
eventually, but Larkin, I'm only saying they should have done that 25 years ago. 15 years ago when I started barking, they said, oh, ignore him. He's a lunatic. No, I'm not a lunatic, and you're not a lunatic, and no one else is a lunatic. But what happens is, as a result of the people who were fat, who got their paycheck every week, regardless of if they worked or didn't work, they showed up in Congress, voted for whatever they wanted. Now our people are flat on their back, near flat on their back. They have bills to the hilt. They have no job to go to, or they're working two or three jobs. They want action, and whoever brings them the best plan, they're going to hold their feet to the fire. This is one time I agree they're going to hold their feet to the fire.
Mike, you were called a crazy man. I was called a crazy man April 3rd, 2000.
I do remember that, Mark, when I first let me tell you something.
Trump's called a crazy man. Well, that
now,
makes
change. I want to tell you something. Maybe somebody like Rich and I and maybe Larkin and Mark and some of the others could all be considered what we call Coliseum-type fighters, cage fighters, whatever you want to call it. But I will tell you this, from what I'm seeing and hearing from people, this presidential campaign, it's going to be a bigger than Coliseum because the people are hungry for change. This is going to be a presentation of the two final contenders like we've never seen in presidential history in America. And will it help America? Absolutely. Because we're going to finally lay the turkey on the table, decide to cut it up and eat it ourselves, not let those people in Washington make the decisions for us.
So,
well, Mike, you had your coffee today. I love it.
One of the main things, and just as an aside, Mark, you're living proof that being crazy is an advantage for entrepreneurs.
Right.
It's the kind of crazy I like to watch. I mean, everybody calls it crazy. I call it a passion. But at any rate, if in fact the country finds out what it was said to the New York Times off the record by Donald Trump, it's going to severely affect his following because it's going to violate something that he's shoved into the forefront. And he said something in contrary to all of the noise he's made about building a wall. If the voting public finds out what Hillary really said to the investment bankers in New York for $275,000 one-hour speech, it will invalidate her following to a large degree also. So they both have skeletons in the closet. This is going to be, I'm telling you, get double seat belts and strap yourself in tight because this is going to be a hell of a ride.
Hillary already has Benghazi and taken all the secret stuff home.
Right.
And like Rich said, the skeletons are out. That doesn't even matter.
You know, Larkin and guys, the fact that all of our inventions, our properties are now owned by somebody else in a foreign country is in itself a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Because they don't take on making all these modems and cell phones and all. They do the research and development. They take over the property. They have a certain amount of years to produce that. Who in the name of God was watching over these negotiations over the years? It was a negotiation process against the American people. They really should speak up, and I want to see a cage fight like I've never seen before in my life. And by the way, math matters and numbers don't lie. The fact that we need 45 million full and part-time jobs in America is in itself the greatest slap in the face to every elected official in this country.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that at all. But the fact of the matter, and here's the other, just one more dot on that, on this conversation. If, in fact, the winning candidate, whether it's Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Senator Cruz, whoever it is, if they don't drop the gloves and come out and try to unite this country under one single course, doesn't favor either party, but favors the future of the country, then we're back in the soup anyway.
Yeah, right. Mark Larkin, you're absolutely right. We need the candidates to unite. We need the people to unite. We have already heard. And by the way, I heard some grumbling and growling, Rich, that they're going to try to propose a candidate that hasn't been through the process of this primary.
You're talking about Paul Ryan?
Yes. I heard that this morning, and I thought, that is totally objectionable.
It has to be
somebody who's been vetted during this process. I wanted to call and attack the radio station, but I couldn't because I was coming up here. But the thing is, this is totally idiotic, and the guy sort of agreed with it, that that's what might be a good idea. Paul Ryan already went through the last election with Mitt Romney, and they got goose eggs.
Well, Michael, again, let's assume for argument's sake that there are markets cornered. What's the plan to beat Clinton? And so the president, he was elected 88 months ago, by my math, unless I'm mistaken on that, 88 months ago. And I ask Republican friends of mine, many of whom are you know, good people. They care about the country. And I ask them, you haven't had one person in 88 months to give a strong Trump-type message, but let me add the caveats here, Larkin, more nuanced, more diplomatic, right? More better temperament, we'll say, all these things. You haven't had one person in 88 months to that, you know?
You know, the only thing I can say to you about that is that if, in fact, Reagan is elected, I suspect there's an even chance, whatever, he can't stand in front of NATO and say, well, okay, I don't like that, so just punch him in the face.
Well, you're right, Larkin, but
that's my question. But that's exactly what my question is. In the last 88, almost 90 months, there hasn't been a single Republican who could have done a message like this. You know why Trump is popular? He's popular because he talks more about America than the rest of the world. Because he talks more about Americans than all the other people. Paul Ryan, the guy who thinks that constitutional rights apply to people in other countries. Paul Ryan, the guy who said, nah, we don't know who the hell these people are. Let them in. Paul Ryan, I don't like the omnibus, but I'm going to agree to it anyway. Well, what the hell are you there for then? Paul Ryan, the guy who got his butt kicked by Uncle Joe Biden in 2012? Paul Ryan, the VP selection of the biggest rhino in the history of the modern-day Republican Party, Mitt Romney? That's your plan against Clinton?
Well,
nice plan.
Again, you know, I go way out of my way to be non-political.
You're very obviously, Larkin. You never said a political thing on this show ever.
What the heck are you guys laughing at? I do. You don't know my politics. I was thinking, well, some of you do because you've been drinking with me before. But I don't make it known. All I'm telling you is that the very situation you're talking about is brought on by a lack of leadership in the Republican Party.
Agreed. Tell me
who is in charge on the Republican side. Just tell me who's our leader right now. Who's the leader of the Republican? If you had to generate some energy on the Republican side of things, who would you go to? Who's in charge? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Somebody. Give me an answer. There is nobody. And that's why the Republican Party found itself in the pickle it's in right now. There wasn't a unified voice to stand up and say, this isn't right, and to pull everybody either behind stage or whatever. I mean, they had that meeting in Amelia Island, Georgia, or wherever that is, Florida, with all of the major corporate heads, Jobs, and all the rest of those guys, and the Republican leaders, which kind of disappoints me. But at any rate, there is no Republican leader. None.
And you know what that meeting was about, Larkin? You know what that meeting was all about.
Yeah, it was a meeting to stop Trump.
Right. That's what that meeting was. And you know who showed up there? Democrats who just put an R after their name, like Ryan. A bunch of billionaires, which is the funniest thing to me as a side note, Larkin. You know, eat the rich. 99% of billionaires in America are progressives. 99% eat the rich, 99%. So you had a bunch of billionaires who show up, who hate walls, but live behind big walls of their mansions, hate guns, but have 24-hour armed guards, love to talk about global warming, while they take a private jet from Philadelphia to Atlantic City.
Yep.
And in my opinion, there is not a single Republican on the national stage who has consistently highlighted the hypocrisies of progressivism. Not a single one. So it ain't rocket science to ask, where's the leadership? Why don't we have it? Because these guys, like the Democrats, Michael, what they do is they legislate and they think and they act and they behave mostly based on the people who give them the money for their campaigns.
Gentlemen.
And this time around, Michael, people are saying, I don't care who got what super PAC or not, money or not, we're going to vote the way we want. That's what's happening. The party has never seen the electorate this way.
I want to remind all of you that our broadcast is nonpartisan and nonsectarian. We certainly do our best. But the people who listen, and I see in my travels, love what we have to say because we're really giving everybody an equal whipping. I mean, we're letting them know, and I think it's more important than ever that people in America be aware of what's going on, not just talk, but take action. Look for products made in America. Talk up at your store. You know, let the businesses know that you'll support them as they're coming. Encourage business to invest and expand with their product lines in the USA. And with that, I want to briefly thank all of our sponsors today, people who enjoy promoting what we're doing and are grateful that we are trying to get jobs for the people. Restore neighborhoods, restore businesses, restore stability for the American people who will be continuing to be good customers of their businesses. And with that in mind, I just want to acknowledge the outstanding support of Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, Serena's Auto Body Shop with two locations in Philadelphia, the Net Cost Markets in Northeast Philadelphia, the PRCUA and Mr. Joseph Drobot, Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, Dr. Eva Machak, a great dentist in the Philadelphia area, also Polka Deli, located in Port Richmond, and the Polish American Travel Service, also located on Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, as well as Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Best wishes also from Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of the Washington Savings Bank, Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, and also Mr. Frank Spula, national president of the PNA. And our supporters at the Sugar House Casino appreciate all that we are doing to promote American-made and support American workers. You can visit the Sugar House Casino 24 hours a day at sugarhousecasino.com. And may I encourage you to check out the front page of our internet site, where you will find the American-made store Mark Andel, who is unbelievable in all of his efforts. You'll find the U.S. debt clock. You'll also find some very special links to what we're trying to do to promote American-made. What we're seeing in America is a change, and I must say that many of you, our outstanding supporters, have helped bring that change about. Also, who has helped us is that the 20 radio broadcasts that continue to play my weekly commentaries during their public service time, print my internet commentaries on their sites, and also print it in their newspapers. Together, we are making unbelievable change, and we have to keep that up. Make sure you register to vote. If you haven't, the primary hasn't come to your state, you have days to do it. Normally, it's 30 days before the election. So get that voter registration ballot in the proper place so that you'll be able to go out and vote on election day or get an absentee ballot. I'd like to call upon everybody for closing remarks. Rich, what would you like to add to our outstanding and lively discussion today?
Just real quick, Mark, I'm sorry. I got like no sleep from working the polls, and I needed like 14 espressos today. Guys, bottom line, Larkin, people have asked me, are you and Larkin not getting along? I'm like, oh God, this isn't good. People think, no, I said me and Larkin are on the same side. Me and Larkin are on the exact same side. And all I'll say, guys, is this. The people I met yesterday, you know what they didn't pay attention to? Polls. Don't pay attention to polls. Get out and vote. Don't listen to the polls. Get out and vote.
Well said. Larkin, what would you like to add?
Well, from my shameless side, allow me to restress score.org, score.org. Let us help change your lives, small businessmen, entrepreneurs. We have some wonderful services available. My continued support to the radio program. But remember, I come to you from SCORE, SCORE.org.
And if you want to see Larkin and the SCORE movement, you click on Larkin's picture on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And Mark, I know you have a special event coming up this week.
Yes. You know, I'm so glad Rich didn't lose his phone. I'm thinking maybe he went swimming with it. You know, Larkin's driving down the road. He's got a good driver there. I appreciate that. He's kept it on the road. You know, Mike, we do have a big weekend. And this weekend's in Canton, Ohio. These beautiful people, Rhonda and Perry Griffin, met us last September in Constitution, Ohio, the town right next to this place. And we got the Rebuilding America Tour. They invited me down to speak on behalf of the Made in America Store team and what we're doing in the last 6 years. They got Clyde Strickland, the visionary of the American-made movie, flying in, and they got Ricky Lee singing the new Looking for America video. I'm going to send Henry the video today. Guys, take a look at this video. I'll send everybody the link. Take a look at the video, and it really pulls you in. And I got a lot going on with this video. We can officially release it on the radio next week, Monday. So we got a lot. Made in America matters. Our new destination's in process, Mike. We're moving 6 stores somehow with my team in these next 5 weeks. Tonight we're working till 4 in the morning moving another mall store that they kicked us out. But that's kind of how our entrepreneurial spirit runs. We just don't sleep, Mike.
God bless you. Mark, you're unbelievable. And check out that link on the front page of our site. You'll see Mark's dad and the American-made store. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Mark, Larkin, Rich, and all of you for going out and doing your thing. Thanks, Henry, for another great program today. And as you know, I'm Michael Bliash. Thank you. Until I have a chance to see you in my travels, or we're together this Saturday at 11 here on 860, or for the variety show, I want to wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and yours. And when you're out shopping, make sure that you look to support your local businesses and American workers. Thanks again to all. I look forward to seeing you Saturday or next Wednesday at 11 right here on 860 AM. Check us out on the internet, where you can hear rebroadcasts at AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
Have a great week, guys. And Henry, thanks for not hitting that power button off on us, letting us talk today.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.